Election Day, November 8th, 2016, 11:45 p.m. I kept one eye on our television, the returns growing ever larger for Donald Trump as I attempted to comfort my disconsolate college professor wife and our weeping 15-year-old climate change-obsessed daughter. Periodically, I refreshed the screen of my phone. Earlier, the New York Times election prediction needle had swung wildly between Clinton and Trump like a broken compass. Now it remained firmly and deeply in the Republican red. One part of me felt sick. As the former Obama ethics czar, how could I not? From 2009 to 2011, I had served as White House Special Counsel for Ethics and Government Reform. I had earned the moniker Mr. No, helping to make integrity a hallmark of the Obama years and to deliver what experts called the most scandal-free administration in modern history. Trump threatened the opposite. Financial, sexual, and political scandals, including welcoming Russian attacks on our election, marred his career and campaign. Now it looked as if he were going to be elected. But it was not only dismay I felt as I tucked my daughter into bed, kissing her forehead, and then said goodnight to my wife, telling her that everything would work out. I had a secret as I exited the bedroom, walked through our darkened home, returned to the living room, and flipped open my laptop, the television silently flickering in front of me. I double-clicked to open a document. Draft Presidential Ethics Order. I was doing my part to help Donald Trump prepare to take the reins of our government, and side by side with my sadness, I felt some measure of hope that he might do a good job. It might seem hypocritical that despite my misgivings about Trump, I was secretly helping his presidential transition and potential administration with government ethics and compliance. If I had noted and even sounded an alarm bell on his risk factors, why would I help? Because he would be the president of all of us, including my family. I am also, as my wife says, a desperate optimist. I had worked on two tracks after the Republican Party nominated Trump that summer of 2016. On one, I spoke out vociferously about the ethical quagmire a Trump presidency could present. To do so, I partnered with my Republican ethics counterpart, Richard Painter. The gray-haired law professor was an East Coast WASP with Harvard and Yale degrees who had served as President George W. Bush's ethics counsel from 2005 to 2007. He was as tightly laced as I was expressive. He had a deadpan sense of humor, was careful not to smile unless absolutely necessary, and never, under any circumstances, to grin. But whatever our stylistic and political differences, we were equally alarmed by Trump's ethics, above all, that he had failed to commit to fully divesting from his multiple businesses, were he elected. He proposed handing over his companies to his children, but that was not enough. On TV, on radio, and in print, Painter and I explained why not. As long as Trump's profits landed in his pockets, his potential for conflicts was astronomical. If elected, he would have to sell his interests and put the proceeds in a blind trust, one where he wouldn't know how the trustee managed them. That was just one of many things Trump would be required to do to govern ethically, along with releasing his tax returns, making transparent with whom he was doing business. The press was surprisingly resistant to investigating these concerns. The story of the age of Trump is the story of how our institutions have fared, and none has been more important than the media. But that does not mean their record is unblemished. Reporter after reporter called me that fall, but usually to talk about Clinton's emails, family foundation, or other potential ethics issues. My wife Lindsay often heard me say, "But what about Trump?" Only to be told variations of, "Trump? Oh, we'll call you back about that if he wins." They seemed to discount that possibility. I was not as sanguine. So while I was publicly voicing my apprehension about Trump's business affairs, I was privately doing what I could to ameliorate them. Starting in midsummer, I was part of a series of meetings with representatives of both Clinton's and Trump's presidential transitions. We gathered in an office building in downtown D.C., sitting around a large square table with government experts from both Democratic and Republican administrations.